Great truths to be reminded of as we come to our passage for this evening. So we're going to turn to 1 Samuel, and our sort of text for this evening is that last part of verse 6. It's a great verse, a great statement, and I'm going to use that to think about the chapter, the passage that we read. So 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, the end of the passage. But David strengthened himself in the Lord's his God. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So in that previous chapter that we looked at last week, chapter 27, we saw David's faith at a very low ebb. The man who was normally so full of faith and full of trust in the Lord and confidence in him has convinced himself, in spite of the Lord's promises, in spite of the Lord's protection, that Saul is going to kill him. You remember, he kept on, chapter 27, verse 1, he kept on saying in his heart, I shall now perish someday by the hand of Saul. And he said it enough times that he convinced himself that the best thing for him to do was to leave the promised land and go to Philistine land. To leave the promised land and go to Philistine territory. And we saw, you remember how chapter 27, there is the Lord isn't mentioned. And it's the author's way of telling us that God is largely being left out of this chapter, left out of David's thoughts, left out of David's decisions. And it's a pretty bleak time in David's life. He ends up living in Ziklag, we saw, didn't we? Which Achish, one of the Philistine lords, one of the Philistine kings, gives him. From there, he and his men go out on raids, you remember, actually defeating the Amalekites and the Geshurites and others, but making out to Achish that he's going into Judah and attacking the Israelites. And in order to keep up that lie, wherever he goes, he kills everybody so that no one can come back and tell Achish the truth. It really is a bleak time in David's life. But thankfully, in this passage, and in this verse particularly, we see David's faith restored. We see David doing what he should have done at the beginning of chapter 27. We see his faith restored, and we see him looking again to the Lord, strengthening himself in the Lord his God. So there's the first bit of application, if you like. Perhaps you're here tonight, I don't know, or watching on tonight. Is your faith at a weak ebb at the moment? Are you feeling a long way from the Lord? Are you more in the chapter 27 position? Well, be encouraged that it doesn't have to stay that way. Faith can be revived. We can come back to the Lord tonight and strengthen ourselves in him and know that he will receive us. So let's think about this passage together. You'll see if you've got the sheet. So first of all, David strengthening himself in God, the circumstances, the reason that was needed. Why did David need to strengthen himself in the Lord his God? Well, first of all, life was full of troubles. Life was full of troubles. Have you ever been on a roller coaster? One or two of you perhaps may not be. One or two of you, I wouldn't advise it at your stage in life. But it's full of ups and downs, isn't it? It's full of, you know, throwing you about. And have you noticed that life can be like that? Have you seen that yet? I mean, David's life was like that, wasn't it? It was just like following David, it's like a roller coaster, isn't it? His life's exhausting watching it. I mean, just take these circumstances that David is in during this passage. So, you know, due to his very... David was obviously a good actor, wasn't he? He was a good liar. Because Achish was a total believer in David, wasn't he? In this passage. He is absolutely convinced of David's righteousness. And, you know, he fell for David's stories, hook, line, and sinker. He really believes that David's going to Israel and attacking Israel and so on. And David's right with them. But it backfires, doesn't it? Because Achish, thinking that David, well, he's already burnt all his bridges, as it were, with the Israelites. I mean, they are bound to hate him, and he's obviously got no thought for them because he's just going and attacking them anyway. He won't mind. He'll be right up for coming with us to battle against Israel. And so David and his men find themselves in the Philistine lines heading to war with his own people. I mean, what a dilemma that is. I mean, that could be disaster. I mean, they're never going to have him as their king, are they, in the future, if they know that he's come with the Philistines to war against them. So what's he going to do? Well, in the providence of God, of course, he's spared by the Philistines themselves. Because the other Philistine lords, when they sort of do a sort of review of the troops, see David and his men at the back, and they go, hang on a minute. We know who this is. This is one of them. This is David. And we remember the songs they used to sing about him, killing his 10,000. We don't want him in the battle lines. And so, I mean, it's still all very convincing, isn't it? Because, you know, Achish goes and he's very sorry. He's very repentant, isn't he? Sorry, David, I'm really sorry about this, but you can't come to battle with me. And David carries on the show, doesn't he? He said, he carries on the sort of line, doesn't he? Where in verse 9, well, you know, what have I done to deserve this to be sent back? But clearly it's a relief, isn't it? I mean, David and his men, they're heading back to Ziklag. They haven't had to fight for the Philistines against the people of Israel. I mean, it's a real relief. And then we come to the opening verses of chapter 30. They're on their way back to Ziklag. No doubt they're looking forward to seeing their wives and children sleeping in their own beds again. And you can imagine it, can't you? They're heading back towards Ziklag. From the direction of Ziklag, perhaps they see smoke rising. And their hearts begin to knot up, and they begin to run towards Ziklag. And when they get there, it's been razed to the ground. Their homes are burnt. Their families are gone. And they hadn't imagined it for a moment. And suddenly, they're plunged into this. Imagine how they would have felt. Well, actually, we don't have to imagine, because we're told in verse 4, aren't we? Look at verse 4 of chapter 30. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. These are grown men. These are fighting men. These are men who are used to killing and death. And they're crying. The tears are running down their cheeks until they haven't got any more strength to cry. The only reason they've stopped crying is because they haven't got any more tears left. They can't cry anymore. That's David. That's the roller coaster. That's why he needs to strengthen himself in the Lord his God. That's why he's got to turn to God, because this is a roller coaster, and there's nothing else to cling on to. And we're being reminded, aren't we, in this passage that he's the Lord's anointed. One of his people with tears rolling down his cheek and anguish in his heart. And it reminds us, life is like that. It is full of ups and downs. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, nor do I. Life is uncertain. Life is unpredictable. Life-changing things can happen in a moment. And we're foolish if we don't realize that. And troubles can come for God's people. Just because we come out to church on a Sunday evening doesn't mean, you know, that we're going to be all right for the next week. You know, it doesn't mean that nothing bad's going to happen to us. No. Bad things happen to God's people. Difficult things, trying circumstances come. And here we're reminded of that, of David. I mean, and it's been going on like this for a long time. I mean, the one blessing about roller coasters is they don't last for very long when you go on. When I remember going to Alton Towers, queuing up for 2 hours to go on a roller coaster that lasted 90 seconds. I mean, I would like it to last a bit longer than that. But David's been on this roller, if we can put it like that, for a long time, hasn't he? And he's bashed up. So that's one of the reasons why he needs to strengthen himself in the Lord his God, because life is full of troubles. And he's got to find some way of keeping going. And then, you know, just when you think that it can't get any worse, he discovers that other people are fickle. I mean, that's putting it politely, really, isn't it? Grief often can turn to anger, can't it? When things go wrong, when disaster comes, it often leaves people looking for someone to blame. I mean, that hasn't changed, has it? We still see that in our day. And Verse 6 tells us that is exactly what happens with David's men. When they've got no more strength to weep anymore, they begin to talk and they begin to grumble and they begin to look for somebody to blame. And there's no one better to blame than the person at the top, at the front, is there? And so these men begin to talk about David. Why, you know, you can imagine it. Why hadn't he refused to go with Achish? I mean, we're not even Philistines anyway. Why did we go? And why has this happened? This is David's fault. And they decide, oh, we know. They're talking about stoning him. I mean, this is the man who's led them and kept them for all these years. And David discovers at this point, you know, in his moment of need, these men aren't going to help him. These men aren't going to help him. And of course, this is the Lord's anointed, but the same was true with the actual Lord's anointed, wasn't it? I mean, Jesus found the same thing in his hour of need, didn't he? Judas betrays him. There he is in anguish and agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what are Peter and James and John doing? They're asleep. I mean, they all desert him. Peter denies him, and Jesus discovers, doesn't he, in his hour of need, you can't trust in men. People are unreliable. Now, you and I might not have people contemplating stoning us. I mean, you probably contemplated that with me once or twice, but we do know, don't we, that people can be unreliable. Well, you know, we've let other people down, haven't we? And we've been let down. And we do need to remember that. Although, we'll be reminded of this later on, Christian fellowship is a vital thing, but don't put your trust in princes. People are fickle. And then David found that his own strength was failing, wasn't it? I mean, David's an impressive young man, really. I mean, he's still a young man at this point, isn't he? He's a man of war. He's a strong man. But all these things, one on top of another, have brought him to an end. And we read in the middle of verse 6, he is greatly distressed. It's a reminder, isn't it, that we're weak, feeble creatures. David himself wrote in that psalm, didn't he? Psalm 39, verse 5, certainly every man at his best state is but vapor, a breath. So, I mean, a lot of us here tonight are beyond our best state, aren't we? We're on the way down. But even when we were at our best, even when we're in our prime, we're just vapor. It doesn't take very much to knock us down, does it? To floor us. Doesn't take much news, does it, to bring us down. We're weak and feeble. And fragile and frail. And so that's why, brothers and sisters, we need to know. We need to do what David, and be ready to do what David did here, and know how to do it, to strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. This is what David does then. And it's a contrast, isn't it, to look at our statement at the end of verse 6. Begins with the word but, doesn't it? But David, and he's in many ways he's contrasted with these other men who in their sorrow become bitter and angry and are looking for someone to blame, and trials can do that to you, can't they? They can leave you bitter and angry and blaming God or blaming someone else. But David stands as a contrast and as an example to us. But this is what the men did, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So let's go on secondly to think about what does that involve then? What did it involve, David doing that? Well, we can see a number of things. Let me just point them out to you. First of all, it involved coming to a God he knew, didn't he? David knew God. That's what it says. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So at this time of trouble, although he's been through a barren time, David knew who to turn to and knew the one he was turning to. It involved coming to the God he could call his God. This was a God he knew. This was a God he'd come to trust. This was a God who'd become his shepherd. This was a God whom he'd walked with and knew and trusted in and had a relationship with. And that's one of the wonderful things about the God of the Bible, isn't it? That he's a God who we know. He's not, I mean, we thought this morning about how infinitely great he is, and yet he's a personal God that we can know and have a relationship with and trust in and walk with. And David knew God. That's one of the reasons I began with Psalm 63. Remember how that psalm begins. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. So this is a God that David knows and seeks and has found and has walked with. So this involved coming to a God that he knew, who was more precious to him than life. That's what we read. Your loving kindness is better than life. And that is what it is to be a Christian, isn't it? It's to not simply to be able to speak about God in a general way, but to speak about God as your God, the God that you know, to speak about Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, it's no good as just knowing about him. We have to come to know him and enter a relationship with him and begin to walk with him and trust him and speak with him and know him. That must be there, mustn't it? We can come along to church and just know about Jesus. But we have to entrust ourselves to him and give ourselves to him and come in repentance and faith and ask him to save us and keep us and have us as his own. So that's what strengthening himself in the Lord his God involved. Coming to a God whom he knew. And what a joy it is to have that. To be able in your time of trouble to turn to a God who you know. Not to be desperately crying out to some vague thing, but to come to the God that you know to have. And that's what David was able to do. It involved coming to a God whom he knew, a personal God. And there's a contrast in many ways with Saul. We've seen that contrast all the way through. Now, one of the good things about doing a series on the life of David, rather than just going through 1 Samuel, is I've been able, with a clear conscience, to jump chapter 28 and Saul consulting the medium and summoning up Samuel. It's a very interesting, difficult chapter. But the reason, there's a contrast in that Saul has no one to go to. He's rejected the Lord, and the Lord has rejected him now. And he's got no one else to turn to, but he goes to this medium to try and find some news, to try and have someone to speak to him. And there's a contrast, isn't there, between that and David, who can, in his moment of need, turn to a God who he can call my God. So it involves coming to a God whom he knew. It involved coming to the God who knew him. I mean, that's implied, isn't it? In the Lord, his God. Not only did David know God, but God knew him. And that David strengthened himself in that very thought that God knew him. So we sang, can you turn to Psalm 139? We sang it, or a version of it, earlier on. But this is a psalm of David's. And David, this is, you know, this these are the truths that David rejoices in, and I'm sure truths that were what was involved in strengthening himself and encouraging himself in the Lord. So he says, doesn't he, how does Psalm 139 open? Oh Lord, you search me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. This is a God who knows David, all about him, all his ways. There's nowhere that David is and God's not there. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. I mean, here's David in Philistine territory, miles away from home, and yet he can encourage himself. The Lord's here. Wherever I am, the Lord's here. The Lord knows me, knows my circumstances and situation. Whether verse 11 of Psalm 139, surely the darkness will fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. The night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Here's a God who knows him. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, or towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is a God who knows David's, who hears his cries, who knows his circumstances, who's not tied to one place. And again, let me remind you, that's true for you, brother, sister, tonight, that you have a God who knows you and knows your fears and your troubles and your trials and your pathway behind you and before you. And you can take strength from that, and you can be encouraged by that. We have a Savior who's the Good Shepherd, who knows his sheep by name. And so there's not a day and there's not a circumstance where the Lord doesn't know all about it. And so strengthening yourself in the Lord involves reminding yourself, not only do you know him, but he knows you. And he's with you wherever you are, in your joys, in your sorrows. He sees your needs. He knows your tears. And he hears your cries. It involved coming to a God he knew. It involved coming to a God who knew him. It involved coming to a God that he knew was great. So it's the Lord, his God, isn't it? In other words, though he's coming to a personal God, it's not a God of his own making. It's the Lord, his God. It's that great name of God that we so often come back to, don't we? The I Am name, the unchanging, eternal, all-sufficient God who sees the end from the beginning, who is unimaginably great. That's who David's coming to. That's who David's seeking strength from. Not some weak, feeble, changeable God, but the one who says, I am the Lord and I do not change. That's who David turns to, isn't it? In his time of need, this unimaginably great God. And those thoughts remind David that even these burned out, smouldering houses of Ziklag are not simply a matter of bad luck or chance. This is all in God's hands. It's all in his sovereign purposes and plans. He's still working all things together for good. And our God's the same. We're not going, well, that's David's God. Now let me tell you about how the Lord is now. No, he's not. He doesn't change. He's the same, isn't he? He's the I Am. The same, very same God that David strengthened himself in 3,000 years ago is the same God that you go to and I go to and we meet with today. We're told that David strengthened himself. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the Hebrew carries the idea of laying hold of something or someone to steady yourself. That's the picture. Grabbing hold of someone. So, have you ever been ice skating? I don't recommend it. It's a miserable thing, really. But there's that moment, if you've been, where you begin to, you know, your feet start to go, and they're going everywhere, and they get faster and faster, and what are you doing? You're just looking for something to grab hold of, somebody who looks like they can stand up, and you grab them. That's the sort of picture here, isn't it? That David, everything is moving and shaking and falling apart, and he's looking for one thing that's going to stand firm. And there is only one thing. And it's the Lord. And he grabs hold of him. That's the picture, isn't it, that we have here. David's going down. And his whole life is going down. Everything he knows and loves is crumbling. And he lays hold of the Lord. And grasps hold of those truths that we've been mentioning. Some versions have David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I like to put it this way, that David strengthened himself by encouraging himself in the Lord his God. So here's how he strengthened himself, by encouraging himself in the Lord, by reminding himself of all that the Lord is and all that the Lord has done and all the Lord has promised him and how the Lord has been faithful to him and reminding himself of the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. We need that. That's how we got to encourage ourselves. We, in the uncertainty of life, in that roller coaster of life, we lay hold of God and His truth, the one thing that doesn't change and is sure and certain. And we need to apply that to our lives. Sometimes we can be slow. I mean, I speak for myself that we know these truths. We know that God is sovereign. We know that all things work together for good. And we know it in a general way. But when something happens in my life, I can be very slow to lay hold of those truths about that circumstance. But that's what we've got to do, haven't we? David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Sometimes others encourage us. Go back to chapter 23, verse 16. Do you remember that lovely, wasn't long ago we were back there. Chapter 23, verse 16, when Jonathan comes, doesn't he? Finds David. Saul has been hunting for him, can't find him. Jonathan finds him straight away. And 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand. In God, that's the same words. So what does he do? He goes, doesn't he? And he reminds David of the truths about God. He reminds the next verse. Do not fear, for the hand of my father, Saul my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. And they make a covenant together, don't they? So Jonathan goes, and he reminds David of the truth, and he encourages him in the promises of God, and he commits himself to him. And we need that, don't we? We saw that at the time. We need to encourage each other. We need to be encouragers of each other and strengtheners of each other. But we've also got to know how to do this ourselves, to encourage our own hearts. I mean, that's the daily life, isn't it, of keeping on in the Christian life. We've got to talk to ourselves. We've got to remind ourselves of the truth. As we said in chapter 27, verse 1, David was talking to himself about how Saul was going to kill him and forgetting God's greatness and God's promises and God's protection. And yet he's come to his senses, hasn't he? Now he's talking to himself, but he's reminding himself of good things. He's strengthening himself in the Lord. He's reminding himself of the Lord's truth. He's reminding himself that the Lord will keep him and will watch over him and will guide him. Back in our passage in chapter 30, the next two verses after our text, verses 7 and 8, you have David calling for Abiathar of the priest to bring the ephod here. You remember the ephod was that priestly garment which had the Urim and Thummim in, and that were used for guidance, weren't they? And David is asking the Lord about going after the troops. You remember in chapter 27 we said, didn't we, that there's no indication when David goes to Achish that there's anything like this. There's no seeking the Lord. Is this the right thing to do? Is this the good thing to do? But here, back again, David's faith is restored, and he wants to know the Lord's will, doesn't he? We could say, couldn't we, what a different story it might have been if chapter 27, verse 1, had begun, and David strengthened his heart in the Lord his God. We'd have, humanly speaking, we could have avoided all of that dark days. So we're reminded of the importance of doing it. What a difference it can make to your life. What a difference it can make to these next days, to these next months. Who knows what's ahead of us? If when trial comes, trouble comes, we strengthen ourselves. I mean, in a sense, that's part of our daily, you could think of your daily reading and your daily devotions in that way. What am I doing when I open my Bible in the morning, when I pray in the morning? What am I doing? I'm strengthening myself in the Lord my God. I'm reminding myself as I begin the day. I don't know what the day is going to hold. I don't know what's going to come. I don't know how it's going to go, what's going to enter into the day. What temptations are going to come? What trials are going to come? So what do I do in the morning? I strengthen myself in the Lord. I remind myself of the truth and the gospel and the things of God. And I commit myself to the Lord. And I seek my strength. I lay hold of that solid foundation before I head out into the week, out into the day. That's a good way of thinking about our daily, our own quiet time. What are we doing? We're strengthening ourselves We're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. We're reminding ourselves of our God, of our Savior, of the gospel, of the truth. And then when trials come, if we're doing it every day, when the trials come, we're more likely to do the right thing, aren't we? We're more likely to say when the trials come, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to remind myself of the truth. I'm going to go to the truth. I'm going to trust in the promises of God. So here's a wonderful reminder of precious truths and important truths. Life is difficult. It is a roller coaster. It is hard. Glory's coming, but we're not there yet. And we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Do you know him? Do you know him? Is he yours? Could you say, my God, my Savior? If not, go to him, look to him. Ask him to save you. Commit yourself to him and then have the joy of finding your strength and walking each day in fellowship with him.